Well, as many of you know, I spent the last 2 weeks in Japan visiting Harumi's side of the family. And it was especially a sweet time because Harumi's grandmother is 99 years old, just like Abraham was in Genesis chapter 17. And she is sharp as a tack. It was a very touching thing to see four generations of our family in one tatami room. During one of our family meals, when everyone was gathered around the table and eating sushi, I thought of the psalmist's words in Psalm chapter 71, verse 18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Let's all say these words together. Please repeat after me. Even when I am old and gray.
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 Do not forsake me, O God. Till I declare your power to the next generation. Till I declare your power to the next generation.
Your might to all who are to come.
If we do this, if we walk this out, then we can declare wholeheartedly the words of Psalm 79, verse 13, which says, L'dor vador nisaper tehilatecha, from generation to generation, we will recount your praise. As a messianic synagogue, we need to have a vision to pass on the covenant to our young people, even as Abraham was committed to passing on the covenant to Isaac and to Jacob. And to do this, he had to invest in the next generation. This morning, I would like to talk with you about investing in our children. While the next generation certainly includes our own children and grandchildren, I would like to suggest for your consideration that we should also invest in the young people who are part of our congregational family and who are not our biological children. We should pour our time and our energy and our resources into them. Let's have all the young people stand up. If you're a preteen, if you're a teen, if you're a late teen, if you're an early 20s, stand up. Wow, Sandy. All right. These are our young people. These are our young people. And some of them are younger than others. But we should be pouring our time and our energy and our resources into them. For this is how the covenant is passed on. This is how the Malchut Hashem, the kingdom of God, grows. A dear friend of mine, Yonatan Lasko, and his wife, Kristen, will be having a baby soon. And I was thinking the other day about how I knew Yonatan when he was a child, and how over the years I've watched him to grow into the man of God, the Ish HaElohim he is today, and the leader that he is today at Beth Messiah Congregation in Montgomery Village, Maryland. How did Yonatan become such a mensch? Yes, it is because he had amazing parents, Rob and Merrill Lasko. And yes, It's because Yonatan made a right decision in life to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And yes, it's because he chose an Eshet Chayil, a wife of noble character. But there is another reason that Yonatan is a mensch today. And it is because he had a community that invested in him as a young person from the time he was born. Over the years, hundreds, perhaps even thousands of Messianic Jews and Messianic Gentiles have prayed for Yonatan and taught him and poured their love and their wisdom into him. The result is this very impressive young man, this mensch, who is about to become a father and who will pass all these blessings onto his son. We need to have a vision to invest in the children of our congregation. We need to have a vision to say, and let us say it again together from Psalm chapter 71, verse 18, together. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. The Shaliach, Paul, lived out this prayer in how he related to Timothy. Timothy was not his biological son, but Paul cared for Timothy as though he was his own child. As I've read Paul's letters, five areas in particular stand out in terms of how Paul related to Timothy. First, Paul prayed for Timothy regularly. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you, Timothy, in my prayers. Paul was a shaliach, an apostle, with countless concerns to bring before the Lord, many of which had eternal significance. But Timothy was always a priority in Paul's prayers. Paul also laid hands on Timothy and blessed him with spiritual gifts. We are told in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, for this reason I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Secondly, Paul instructed Timothy. So he prayed for Timothy, but he also instructed Timothy. The New Testament letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, are an enduring reminder of Paul's commitment to train and to invest in Timothy. Paul passed on to Timothy his wisdom, his knowledge, and his experience. So Paul prayed for Timothy. He taught Timothy. And as well, Paul enjoyed being with Timothy. He writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, he says, Timothy, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Paul enjoyed spending time with Timothy. Timothy was not a burden or a duty. Timothy was a blessing. So Paul prayed for Timothy. He taught Timothy. He enjoyed being with Timothy. And fourthly, Paul cared for Timothy's welfare. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10, Paul writes, if Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you. Paul concerned himself with Timothy's well-being. At the same time, he did not shield Timothy from trials.
Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But Timothy, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." And so Timothy followed in Paul's footsteps. Like Paul, he too was ultimately imprisoned for his faith in Yeshua, as we are told in Hebrews chapter 13. So we see Paul prayed for Timothy. What else did he do? He taught Timothy. He enjoyed being with Timothy. And here we find that he cared for Timothy's welfare. And finally, the fifth area that I noticed in Paul's correspondence with Timothy is that we see there was a collegiality in the way that Paul related to Timothy. Paul refers to Timothy as my co-worker in Romans chapter 16, and our brother in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes Paul joins together these two expressions, as in 1 Thessalonians 3, where he says, our brother and co-worker, Timothy. Paul begins his letter to the Philippians with the words, Paul and Timothy, servants of Messiah Yeshua. Paul clearly viewed Timothy as a colleague, as well as a young person he was mentoring and instructing. Remember all those young people who stood up? They're not just young people that we're investing in and mentoring and praying for and instructing and enjoying being with and caring for their welfare. They are also our colleagues. They are our co-workers. I've been saying to Jasper Jr., why don't you come on up here and lead as a cantor along with your father, Jasper Sr.? Because Jasper Jr. is a colleague. He's a co-worker. Do we have Timothys in our lives? Are we investing in the children of our congregation? Are we able to say in all sincerity to the Lord, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come.